You're listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now bring you the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will, a practical and fun approach to understanding, developing, and applying the truths contained in the gift of living in the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. I want to thank God above all for everything. You are in the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will. I'm Peter DePalma, and I'm joined by Mother Gabriel Marie and the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will that come to us live via live stream from Italy. Well, actually, partially true. We're without Mother today, but we are with the Benedictine Daughters of Divine Will. So we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer and in prayer, and we're going to be using as our prayer a supplication on this glorious day. This will be day 31 from the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, the Virgin Mary's Assumption into Heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
My dear Heavenly Mother, I am back in your maternal arms. And as I look at you, a sweet smile appears on your purest lips. Today you are rejoicing, and it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Oh, Holy Mother, I entreat you to touch my mind and purify my heart with your maternal hands so that I may understand your holy lessons and put them into practice. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Amen. And of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Amen. You know, Sister Gloria Teresa, who I see on camera right now, you know, every time, and I know I sound like a broken record. I'm going to sound like a broken record saying I sound like a broken record. But when I hear Louisa say, it seems as if you wish to confide something yet more surprising to me, your child. Again, it draws me right back to what Jesus and our Blessed Mother state as secrets. They're divulging secrets. They're giving us these divine truths that sort of are cryptic, not intentionally, but again, there's some work involved. But the secret, you know, we think about today's vernacular, and the secret usually has a nefarious or not a very positive definition or meaning. But this is, remember, this is the language of heaven. God is speaking to us through our vernacular, through all different languages, to convey these truths. They don't stop with the words. The language of heaven is not a different vernacular. It's the meaning. It's the breath of the word. And that's what Our Lady actually explains to us in meditation number one. She defines a secret as per the language of heaven. And she says, quote, "For a secret is a need of the heart, which is irresistibly revealed to those capable of understanding." End quote. So not only is it not nefarious, it's actually a compliment. Our Lady and our Lord are bringing us these truths, these secrets, because they believe we are capable of understanding. That disposition has come to where it needs to be. Again, we're on this playground. We're on the playground. Yeah, Adam and Eve got kicked out of the playground, but God is inviting us back in. And once we're back in, we have to realize we're awake. We're awake, and everyone in our old life is playing a different game than you are now. Everything has changed. Hello, sister.
Hi, yeah, that is so true. And then, you know, it's such a blessing. Whoa, I just thunderstorm. How Jesus gave this divine will in our era. And, you know, through this Holy Spirit, actually, the divine will is the work of the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, he's allowing us to understand this divine knowledge. And it's time for, you know, that's why God, Jesus is revealing his secrets, what he has done in his hidden life, you know, throughout this 30 years before the public ministry. And yes, it is so amazing. We are always like grateful for this great gift.
Yeah, sure. There is also, I think, another word that we can use for the same means is mystery. Mm-hmm. When we say mystery, we think usually it's something that we cannot know. No, mystery is something that has a lot of value. Mm-hmm. And this value we cannot keep with our human faculties. Mm-hmm. We need the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. We need the grace.
Yeah, we need the grace. We need to be conscious that we are under the mantle of Our Lady of St. Joseph, mm-hmm. under the light, the life, the divine life. And living in the divine will, we can keep first this grace. Yes, for sure, the first step is to be purified in our soul and to desire this grace. After, we have to ask this grace to live always with Jesus, with Mary, with Louisa, and receiving this grace, the mystery will be no more mystery, but fullness right. of light. This is the grace, and this is our enrichment. And it is impossible to give this knowledge to people that are not ready. One, because it has too much value, and second, is a way to humiliare, to make make humble. We have the risk to make other people in difficulty because they cannot understand. But with our effort, with our asks and rounds, we can make them able to receive the same grace for coming in the light.
And that's the key to this, about understanding. You know, we can't go into this with our human understanding because we're not going to understand anything. In fact, I remember what Father Iannuzzi, Father Joseph Iannuzzi said on this same Radio Maria, I think it was May of 2020, he said, the divine will is very difficult to explain in words. Yeah, but it's sure. very easy to understand once yeah. we accept it. And I think, end quote, and I think the reason is because, again, I think you're alluding to that, Sister Teresa, we need the grace. We need to be able to translate this language of heaven. And without, you know, being taught the language, we're not going to understand anything. And how do we get it? I think you mentioned it, desire. That's desire. One of the things that actually I wasn't aware of. I mean, I knew what God wanted, I thought, but he wants us to be number one, to receive this gift. He needs us, number one, to be in the state of grace. Number two, to be with an upright intention, meaning we want this for everyone, not just for ourselves. We need to have an ardent desire. We really need to want this gift truly. And the last but not least, ask. Jesus wants to hear us ask for this gift. It's so amazing. It's so simple. Yeah. It's so complicated.
Yeah, and also if you think a divine will is for the little souls, and if you say to a child, oh, this is a secret, what happens? You grow the desire to know. Yeah. So I think Jesus is doing the same with us.
Good point. I want to know. I got to know. You're right.
Yeah, I want to know.
And because, you know, Jesus knows us, and you know how we, you know, needs, you know, help. So he is explaining the divine will through his humanity. And this is exactly how we can enter into the living in the divine will. And today I'd like to share how we can receive those merits and effects of what Jesus achieved in his life. First, we have to do it everything through his humanity, because he is the mediator between God and man, and we have to go through Jesus to Father. So this is from volume 4, October 8, 1901. Here Jesus explains how when the soul operates united with Jesus, that the acts have the same effects as he's operating, and the value of the intention. So perfectly, the intention, pure upright intention, which makes it realized to live in the divine will. So this morning, I struggle very much in waiting for my adorable Jesus. However, while waiting for him, I did as much as I could to unite everything I was doing in my interior with the interior of our Lord, intending to give him all the glory and reparation which his most holy humanity gave him. Now, while I was doing this, Blessed Jesus came and told me, "My daughter, when a soul makes use of my humanity as a means to operate, be it with even a thought, a breath, or just any act, they are like as many gems that could that come out of my humanity and present themselves before the divinity. And since they come out through my humanity, they have the same effects as my operating when I was on earth. And Lord, I feel as though a doubt. How can it be that with the simple intention in operating, be it even in the smallest things, which consider in themselves are trivial, empty, it seems that the mere intention of union with you and of pleasing you alone fills them, and you elevate them in that supreme way, making them appear as a most great thing? Oh, my daughter, the operating of the creature is empty, be it even a great work, Rather, it is the union with me and the simple aim at pleasing me that fills it. And since my operating, be it even a breath, accesses all the works of creatures together in an infinite way, this is why it renders it so great. Besides, don't you know that one who makes use of my humanity as the means to do his actions come to nourish himself with the fruits of my own humanity and to feed himself from my own food? Furthermore, it is perhaps not the good intention that makes a man holy and the evil intention that makes him perverted. One does not always do different things, but with the same actions, one is sanctified and another becomes perverted. So really, Jesus, he did everything for us, and he even prepared the road to the kingdom of divine will. He did everything. He died for us every moment for all the souls. He repaired for all the sins because he knew in the divine will how many souls from like past, present, and future will be, and how many acts that he has to, you know, complete to make a complete glory for God. So that's why his hidden life took longer than his public ministry, 30 years, when the public ministry was only for 3 years. So he divinized everything, all the acts, and then he sanctified them so that we can live in the divine will. And that's why we have to do it, unite, you know, with infuse everything with his humanity. We gotta kind of put on Jesus. So that, you know, we gotta let him do everything. So when we think, we gotta think with his thoughts. When we breathe with his breath. When we say something, we speak with his own mouth. So because with the pure intention, like we said, mentioned earlier, with the intention that we want to do it for the glory of God, that we want to please him, this is the intention, and that we want to do whatever Jesus has done, you know, whatever Jesus, you know, he wills, the intention of doing it for him, with him, in him, that makes a realization, you know, to live in the divine will. So when, like, for example, we can pray when we do something with our hands, we can pray, Jesus, we're going to call all the acts, you know, of the whole humanity, and then I want to repair all the sins that the hands committed, and then I want to give you the perfect reparation and perfect glory to God for the good of all, and I want to do it with your hands. Like when you breathe, you can say, I want to breathe with your own breath. I want to give the divine life to the all humanity in divine will to all generations. So I breathe with your own breath. So this is how we can enter into the living in the divine will, how we can, you know, unite and truly, you know, do it to do the divine acts.
Yeah, I think we have to really, sisters, we have to believe this first. I mean, not forcibly believe, but we really have to believe interiorly. I mean, for example, when Jesus tells us in volume 13, December 5th, 1921, he says, quote, the work is already done. There's nothing left except to make it known so that not only you, but also others may take part in these great blessings. And when he tells us in volume 14, August 23rd, 1922, quote, I told you many times that the mission of calling a soul to live in my divine will is the greatest one. It is the highest and most sublime call. There is no other call that can match it. End quote. So if we believe that, then this is our everything. And, you know, sisters, you know, religious life is so beautiful in of itself. But the fact that you chose your vocation in the divine will is the greatest of all vocations. And again, we're not putting down the Dominican sisters and the Franciscans. No, everyone's a piece of the puzzle. But to be a divine will sister is the greatest vocation that any woman can ever aspire for. Thank you, Sister Elizabeth, for your fiat.
That's so true. And I'm so happy. We're so blessed, you know.
You are.
You really
We are.
thank you for advertising us. Because
well, actually, you may want to even mention your website too, if anyone wants to be more familiar with the sisters and mother, you know, their story. And it's a great story, and the story keeps unfolding. Just when you think it's going to rest for a bit, you know, God opens up a different door. For example, the sisters are coming from Italy, and they're opening up. They're expanding in Tennessee. And again, in a place called Marysville, you can't make this stuff up. So Mother Gabriel Marie is coming back to sort of where her roots are, close, not so far.
Yeah, and it's really, really exciting, you know, and to be living in this time. I mean, to be living in the time when the divine will is spreading, and I mean, we're a part of it. Like how more blessed can we be? It's just astonishing. And Sister Gloria was mentioning, you know, one thing that really struck me from the passage, how a person like by the same action one can be sanctified and the other can become perverted. So it's really the divine will that sanctifies, because like Jesus sanctify all the acts, and like he redid the divine version of each one of our lives, and we are really called to be like the forerunners of the kingdom of heaven on earth by our acts. And I was just thinking how really every occasion, every instant is an occasion to do an act and around, like really anything. Like I was just this morning, you know, waiting in the post office, and the man that was there, like he that was working there, kind of was, you know, ignoring me, not being very polite and all. But all that is really anything like that is happening to you on your work, in your family, whatever you are living, any emotion, you know, like one priest said that God puts the feelings, you know, in your heart for a reason, but it's how it depends on you. How are you going to act on it? You know, if there's a situation that like you can become angry or sad or disappointed or whatever, and you fuse yourself in Jesus and you make an act out of it, and you ask Jesus that fused in him and the divine will, you do the reparation together with him for everyone that has become angry or impatient, or you know, or you or like the persons that are involved in you in maybe some situations like that. You ask for them to be clothed in the divine will, in the, you know, God's beauty and sanctity and holiness. And I mean, I think God really, I believe, put us our imagination, you know, in us, and that it's really in this time of, you know, of expansion of technology, science and everything, that also like our creativity and imagination of doing acts and rounds, you know, fusing the divine will is really expanding all the time. And I was just reading from volume 34, May 6, 1937. How really Jesus loves us so much that he gave us everything, you know, on our disposal. So he was telling Luisa, and he, with a tender and moving accent, as to feel my heart burst, told me, I'm within you, I'm yours, I'm at your disposition. My wounds, my blood, all my sufferings are yours. You can do with me what you want. Rather, do it as magnanimous, as brave, as lover, as my true imitator. Take my blood in order to give it to whomever you want. Take my wounds in order to heal the wounds of sinners. Take my life in order to give the life of grace, of sanctity, of love, of divine will to all souls. Take my death in order to make many souls that in sin rise again. I give you all the freedom. Do it. Know how to be my daughter. I have given myself, and that is enough. You think of making everything redound to my glory and of how to make me be loved. My will give you the flight in order to make you bring my blood, my wounds, my kisses, my paternal tendernesses to my children and to your brothers. Therefore, do not marvel. This is truly the divine operation, to keep its works in the act of repeating them continuously in order to give them so as to make of them a gift to the creatures. Each one can say, everything is mine, even God himself is mine. And oh, how we enjoy in seeing them gifted with our works, possessors of their creator. They are the excesses of our love, that in order to be loved, we want to make touched how much we love them and the gifts that we want to give them. Then for one who lives in our volition, if we do not make a gift of everything to them, we feel as if we would defraud the creature, and this we do not know how to do. Therefore, be attentive, let your soul be embalmed by our divine peace, because we do not know what disturbance is, and all things will bring you the smile, the sweetness, the love of your creator. So really, we are called to such a great and divine calling, and we're not called to do great external works. You know, there are many great saints that really did great works, that their legacies, you know, up to now and all. But really, we are called to a sanctity of Our Lady, the greatest of all. It's all in internal. And it says here, God has given us everything at our disposal in the divine will. And but it's really, really important not to give any life to our human will. And everything that, you know, it's coming our way, that he's putting in front of us, you know, really to say fiat and to do an act out of it.
And that takes grace, sister. You know, we can say, I don't want to do my human will anymore. And then the next moment we're doing our human will. So none of this, I think, is possible. I know for a fact is not possible without the grace and graces of our blessed Lord. And that's what's so interesting about this gift. You know, we've done nothing to earn the gift, because again, it's a mystical gift, which is given freely, not like our baptismal gifts. So we did nothing to earn the gift of this opportunity. But now once it's given to us, that's when our work begins. That's when our decision has to be made. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, the patience and the other virtues. You know, we exercise our muscles with weights. We exercise our virtues with obstacles and mean-spirited people that God places in our way, or not in our way, in our path. And then we don't curse them. We bless them and say, Lord, forgive him. He knows not what he does, because I'm sure he didn't mean to be mean to you, but that's just the way it was. Sister Gloria, you want to say something?
The life and the divine will is truly just focus everything on Jesus, because, you know, he's the, you know, true God and true man. And that through his, you know, through Jesus, only through Jesus, you know, we can give him all the glories and honor that we are, that are due to God the Father, because Jesus, you know, reconnected, you know, this broken bridge, broken road between, you know, because he sanctified and divinized all this fallen, you know, our human will. And then he elevated us to the, you know, to the level of the divine acts and life. Because so we want to act, we want to want what Jesus wants, and we want to do what Jesus does. And because Jesus only did what Father wanted, and he was totally like the perfect example of holy obedience, and not even one breath he didn't breathe out of his own human will. And through this, like, many sacrifices, that's how he was able to repair all the sins, and, you know, like, really repaired and raise up all our acts.
Sometimes can appear so difficult to do all these things, but also in the gospel we are called to follow Jesus. Mm. And if in divine will in divine will, we are in the condition to know what Jesus did in his internal life. So we have not to follow Jesus only at the on his external life to forgive. Yes, forgive is also an act, an interior act, but it's also a style to the of the life. But forgive from the heart with all our faculties, it's a divine act. It's not a human act.
I mean, like, it's because you know the values and effects of the divine will, so you want to be one with, like, the more you know about this knowledge of living in the divine will, then you want more to be one with his will, because Jesus' will is God's will. And yes.
And then in heaven, all these people that you had, like, obstacles with, will be like your greatest glory. I mean,
that's right.
Because
thank you, Lord.
they're the ones that, you know, made you come to heaven, actually. Yeah, your ticket to heaven.
There is a risk because, I forgive you, not because I love you, but because I want my glory. It's a big risk.
It's true. It's interesting too, Sister Gloria. You mentioned about the I think you were mentioning about value. I think you mentioned the word value, and that's where the knowledge comes so into our lives. Because again, I know Jesus mentions that. I don't have the volume, and I'm going to paraphrase, and I'm sure I'm going to ruin it. But he basically, I mean, let's look at a simple analogy. Okay, let's say I go outside and I pick up this little rock. I like the little rock. I bring it home to my granddaughter. Here's a little rock, but just don't choke on it. Just keep it somewhere. It's a nice rock. Then all of a sudden, Sister Elizabeth comes over my house and says, "Wow, that's not just a rock. That's a precious gem." I said, "No, you're kidding." I go to the gemologist. He says, "This is worth thousands." So what has happened now? Well, that rock thrown in the toy box now comes out and goes into a very maybe a safety deposit box, because now it's got more value. See, the more we understand about this gift of living the divine will, the more we understand the treasure that it is, and the more we're going to treat it as a treasure. You know, again, after the fall, God never gave up on us. Yes, man took a 6,000-year detour, but we finally arrived. We're finally going back to that other side. Finally.
You're listening to Radio Maria, our Christian voice in your home. We now return to the School of Mary, a kindergarten of the divine will.
And thank you, Radio Maria. Welcome back. I went to the School of Mary. You know, we were talking about a lot of things, but someone mentioned about, I think it was Sister Elizabeth, about imagination. And the imagination is so important, too, because we've got two forms of sort of imagination. It's a passive and an active. And Jesus talks about that, too. He says we must begin with our active imagination. We must begin the process. Again, that also is forms that desire, that asking, that upright intention. It gets all those things, things in motion. And then once we get to a certain level, our finite minds cannot go any further. That's when we have to become passive and let God sort of guide us, glide us to the next level. And St. John of the Cross speaks about that. Also, the Vatican II speaks about it as well. But that was Christina Lenway with Finally, beautiful, beautiful song. Really very indebted to her for that song, for our theme song, basically. We talk about active and passive. We can also be active and passive when we listen. When we participate, I mean, everyone's participating in Radio Maria as we speak, as we listen, as we think. But there's a need. Radio Maria does need your help. They need your prayers and they need your financial assistance. If you could, God knows what we can do. And he only wants us to do what we can do. Some can offer prayers and no financial assistance. Others have been blessed with the ability to help financially. So if you can, please. Go to radiomaria.us just to keep programming on such as this and much better than this. Radiomaria.us, or you can simply call 888-408-0201. That's 888-408-0201. We're going to make the same offer. Now, I haven't gotten any emails from Kevin, so I don't know if no one's listening to the program or if no one's motivated to help. But please, if you can, any donation, any amount, whether it be a reoccurring monthly, one time, we will offer you as a gift a relic prayer card of Luisa Picaretta, which includes a piece of her clothing. I mean, as a relic. Remember the woman hemorrhaging touched the tassel. Could be the institution of the relicacy. Also, you'll get an I Am Catholic card. It's about the size of a credit card. You can keep in your wallet or pocketbook. It has the act of contrition on the back. Come to my will, pray in my praying. I am Catholic. In the event of an emergency, please call a priest. Again, this card is not going to create a debt, but it's actually going to be a credit if you carry this. And again, all of this is a free gift. If you can help us, please, to keep all this beautiful programming and the mission of Our Lady going strong on Radio Maria. Speaking of going strong, I see Sister Pamela. She's going strong.
Hello.
Hello, Sister.
I also. I just wanted to quote before reading the passage that I want to read, that how you were saying, Peter, about the value of how when someone finds a rock and then another person comes and sees the value of it. It's actually from volume 13, August 25th, 1921, where Jesus is giving this parable to Luisa of the gem, of how every time that we get new divine truths and knowledges of him, it's like a new gem that he keeps putting more value and value on it. But the more you know about the value, the more you appreciate it, and the more you love it. And the more you love someone, you want to, keep it to yourself. And in divine will, that's the clue of getting to know more about the value of the divine will and then learn to love it. And then once you love it, which is not you loving it, because we only are capable of loving with human love, but Jesus in us loving it is a divine love. You embrace the divine love and you get transformed in love. So now when you get transformed in love, that's when it is spread out to every generation, past, present, and future. And that's what Jesus did in his humanity. Because the divine will, which is the eternal war, which is the divinity of Jesus living in him, was the one who animated the human will of Jesus. So that's why he disposed himself, his humanity got disposed of letting the divine will animate all of his actions, not only externally but internally. And that's why he was able to redo every act and every feeling, all humanity, because he disposed himself. Because we need to also understand that he was wholly divine and God, but he was also wholly human. And if he wouldn't, if the humanity of Jesus per se would have said, oh, I don't want to, you know, live in divine will, he could do so because he was human. But no, he didn't. And Our Lady is the same way. Like, she chose, like, voluntarily to give her fiat mihi. And by doing that, she was able to carry the Son of God and the Son of Man. So this is, for me, is not impossible to live in a divine will, because the clue is to voluntarily every single day give my human will and my fiat to God. And then by giving it, putting it on the eternity of God and fusing it in that same fiat voluntas tua, fiat voluntas, fiat mihi, and fiat lux, that are all in eternity. And it is not my fiat, human fiat, but it is inserted on the eternity that makes it capable of not, you know, backing up. And by saying that, I want to read from volume 13, January 25th, 1922. And it says, each truth contains within itself a distinct beatitude, happiness, joy, and beauty. What it means to have known on earth, one more true about the divine will when the soul is in heaven. As I was in my usual state, my always lovable Jesus oncoming told me, my daughter, the more truths I manifest to you, the more specialties of beatitudes I give to you as a gift. Each truth contains within itself a distinct beatitude, happiness, joy, and beauty. So each additional truth, you know, brings beatitude, happiness, joy, beauty into yourself, with which you remain enriched. These are divine seeds that the soul receives, and by manifesting them to others, she communicates these seeds and enriches whomever receives them. And I read furthermore, now the truths are the secretaries of my beatitudes, and if I do not manifest them to the souls, they do not crack the secret which they contain, which we were talking before earlier, like about the secret of giving secret it to the souls. Mm-hmm. And then the last day will not come if I do not find souls who are disposed in order for me to reveal all my truths. And when I was reading that, I was like, wow, if God is immense, how many truths are there? You know, like it's an infinite sea of divine truths that every time he pours us out of himself and give it to us. And the more you get on earth, like the more you get living on earth, the more joyful and beatitudes you're going to be in you're going to have in heaven. So when I was reading this, I was like, oh, I really want it. Like, I'm not backing out, because not only I want this for myself, but I want each one of my brothers and sisters that I don't even know. Sister Teresa, that I don't have any idea who they are, but I want them to be joyful in heaven, you know, like I want them to be so immersed in the light of God, that to be all happy, because we are all in the same body of Christ. And if I see someone sick, I want them to be better and I want them to be healed, because it is the body of Jesus. And if one suffers, Jesus suffers, and vice versa. And then I continue, where was I? So that the celestial Jerusalem may resound with my complete glory, and all the blessed may take part in all my beatitudes. Some as direct cause for having known the truth, and some as indirect cause through the one who has known it. I want to tell you which ones are the truths that glorify me the most. They are those which regard my will, primary cause with which I created man, that his will be one with his creator. But man, having withdrawn from my will, render himself unworthy to know the values and the effects and all the truths it contains. So that the souls may open the doors and render herself disposed to knowing the truth that my will contains, the first thing is wanting to live on my will. So that's the desire, wanting it. The second is wanting to know it. Okay, now I desire the gift. Now I need to know it. I need to want to know it, what it means. And the third is to appreciate it. Therefore, with you, I open the doors of my will that you might know its secrets, which men have buried inside my womb, and the effects and the value it contains. And as many truths as you know about my will, so many seeds you receive, and so many divine secretaries from your Kurdish. So, yeah, basically, it's just accepting and then desiring, but also putting it into practice. Because what is the point of desiring something if you don't practice it? You know, if you don't put it into practice of, like, the Our Father, for me, this is an example. Before, I didn't understand, oh, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, okay, good. But then when I know about divine will, now I understood the value of that prayer. And now I need to put it into practice myself, like letting the divine will come in the earth of my soul and live in me so that it can spread out to every single generation on earth. So as Mother always says, we really encourage you to not be afraid of letting everything on the past go, because Jesus is like a huge dad that he's giving you. You are trying to get just a little tiny gem, but he on his back wants to pull it forward and give it something bigger. So you don't have to be afraid of letting go of things when actually God is giving you something more special, because you are his kid, you are his children. And what father doesn't want the best for his children? So don't be afraid of it. And actually also my recommendation would be to not ask, because we are used to ask to have faith, but I think it would be the opposite. We need to believe to have the faith, and the faith is Jesus himself. So the more you believe on him, the more you get the faith. Instead of asking to believe, he's going to believe in you. And then you're going to be possessed of the faith. And divine will is faith. Divine will is believing in him, believing what he's saying, believing every single part of his divine will, which is immense. And yeah, that's all I have for today. Thank you.
No, that was a lot. You know, it's so true. Desire, let me see if I can remember this. Desire admits us into the gift. Knowledge advances us into the gift. Virtues strengthen. Strengthens our virtues. And life actualizes the gift. Number three is not right. Desire admits.
Yeah, it is the virtue.
Virtues anchor us. That's right. So we desire, admit, advance, anchor, and actualize. So it's ACTS, I think it's ACTS. Really great. That was, thank you for Sister Pema for that. You know, you mentioned also about forget about the past. Jesus tells us, volume one is really loaded with that. I mean, he says, quote, "My beloved, the things past have been nothing but a preparation," end quote. So everything we had to experience to bring us to where we are now. He also says, quote, in volume one, "What you have gone through is nothing yet. Prepare yourself for harder trials," end quote. The best is yet to come. Right, Sister Gloria?
Yes, really, like, it's from volume six, I think. It says, you know, what constitutes the merits is not the work you've achieved, but it's the obedience yet that comes out of the divine will. You know, that's what constitutes the merits, our merits. So every moment and in every situation, we got to give our fiat mihi, let it be done unto me as you will, you know, just offer it up, our like struggles, or even our joy or our sin or misery, whatever it is, you know, offer it up as an oblation, as a living crucifix, you know, for the glory of God, united in union with the divine will.
And also, like Sister Gloria was saying, not only our, you know, little sufferings and all, but we can offer other people's, you know, even a lot bigger sufferings. I think that's one of the reasons also why we have this gift in this technology time, you know, when we have a lot of information about what's happening in the world, and it's all so much more connected, like kind of it goes hand by hand. I mean, it can be used for good and for evil. And then also Sister Pamela was mentioning, you know, about giving, and really God loves a joyful giver, you know. And not only, you know, we know what he wants us to be detached from, you know, in order to, you know, really get by his grace, right? Not to our human will, not to live in our human will, but be fused in him, live in the divine will. But not like, okay, God, I know you want that I give this to you, but I don't really want it, you know, but I'm going to give it to you. But, you know, like with our teeth. yeah, I mean, you know, imagine your beloved and, you know, you want to give him a gift. But it's like, okay, I'm giving it to you, but I still want it. And, you know, it's, of course, it's not, you know, it's not fully from the heart. It's not so beautiful and so generous if you wouldn't like really give it wholeheartedly. So, you know, it's important, even if you think that, you know, something is a better option, it's logically better or something, but you kind of know God wants you to, you know, get rid of it and just, you know, just give it wholeheartedly.
And speaking about sufferings, we have the master of sufferings, is our Redeemer. I want to share quickly passages from volume 4, June 18, 1900. And she said, he continued to not to come, I tried to apply myself to considering the mystery of the scourging. While I was doing this, I just barely saw blessed Jesus, whole wounded and dripping blood, who told me, my daughter, the heavens along with all creation point out to you the love of God. My wounded body points out to you the love of neighbor. So much so that with my humanity united to my divinity from two natures, I formed one, and I rendered them inseparable, because I not only satisfied divine justice, but I operated the salvation of men, and so that all wound assume this obligation to love God and neighbor. We know by the gospel, there is no division. We cannot have a division. We cannot say that we love God if we don't love our neighbor. I not only made them one, but I reached the point of making of it a divine precept, what I told before. So my wounds and my blood are many tongues that teach everyone the way to love one another and the obligation that all have to care for the salvation of others. And this is the month dedicated to the precious blood of Jesus. We have not to consider that this is life, but is the word of God, and he is speaking not only with the word, with the writings, the Bible, but he speaks with the wound, with the blood. And we have to have this like a teaching, is a big example for us. We have not to to lament when we really feel in our soul some wounds. We have to accept them. We have to understand in a divine way that is a big gift, because only in this way we can have we can the same image of God in us, Jesus in us. Jesus will be incarnated mystically in our life, in our person, only through sufferings accepted with love. Because many times Jesus told Luisa, I don't need your sufferings. I need your acceptance. I need your will to accept the sufferings. Because sufferings in one way is a mystery. We start with a mystery and we finish with a mystery. Today is a big feast also for Saint Maria Goretti. She loved men with their blood, and we can do acts and rounds united the blood of Jesus with the blood of Maria Goretti for all the sins that we know that are committed, for the sins against the virtue of purity. And without purity we cannot enter in communion with the wisdom of God.
I want to say quickly, she said, you know, here the love of God, love God and neighbor. You know, the living in the divine will, praying in acts and rounds, doing we do in the divine will, there's no greater and better thing than doing in the divine will to love God and to neighbor, because in the divine will you pray for, you know, for the all souls from all generations, you know, past, present, and future, and you give Jesus' love, Jesus's blood, you know, his life to all the human lives. You know, it's not like corporal works of mercy, but it's the spiritual works of mercy, which is so much greater that we can reach out, you know, the souls, especially today for the feast of Saint Maria Goretti. We can pray like this, you know, in the divine will, you know, in union with God, we place our I love you and our you know, I thank you on each drop of blood that Saint Maria Goretti shed for her martyrdom, you know, for the goodness of all souls from the past, present, and future. And it's, and all the souls, they're gonna benefit from it, you know, they're gonna get all the blessings and graces, you know, from Jesus, and which is so incredible.
Yeah, let Maria Goretti, Saint Maria Goretti, influence young women today, and not like those influencers that are on YouTube and TikTok and all those other things that are drawing people, you know, into sin. Saint Maria Goretti, she was convinced of her conviction. She loved God, and nothing was going to stop her from doing what was right. That takes courage. That takes real courage, and that's what we're asked to do right now, also.
Like every day you have to, unless every day, you know, you practice it, you know, you really put it into action and practice, it doesn't come out naturally, you know, like at the moment of, you know, martyrdom, like when you have to, this is the moment, like you have to choose, you know, God's will or the human will.
Yeah, this is our martyrdom, because we cannot say, okay, now I go out, I will ask someone who try to kill me for share my blood. No, we cannot do this. And this, we cannot choose our cross. We have to accept the cross that Jesus chose for us. Mm-hmm. And the first is to say fiat at every time. And it's not very easy.
No,
but if you read, I don't have time to read the passages, but from the day 6 from Our Lady, at one point she say, after she went out over the test, she can say, we can receive the possession of all the creation of ourselves for sure, and of God. This is the price, the martyrdom, the blood shared for others. The price is the price for sharing the divine life, and to be able to be to have fecundity, spiritual fecundity for our souls. Because Maria Goretti, she shared her blood, but also with her martyrdom, she called to conversion Alessandro, the man who tried to kill her,
he stabbed her.
Yeah,
and let's remember that you know, in the Passion Book, which is only the shadow of what he suffered interiorly in the divine will. He said, you know, on the way of cross, when he was stripped off of all his clothing, he said, you know, he was repenting for all the sins, you know, against purity, against chastity. He said, I had to be stripped off, you know, because so that I was repairing all the people, you know, that were sinning against, you know, like modesty. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in the divine will, we enter, and then we just infuse in Jesus, you know, his prayers, and then we possess, you know, his merits. We possess all his acts, the divine acts, with our intention to be unified with them, you know, through his humanity. And then we give it to all the people for, you know, to repair for their sins.
And I think also last thing, we have also we start to do this kind of work, spiritual work, we have only also to stop our tongue to speak against the people who have this kind of sin. Because there is another saint, Maria Mechtilde de Bar, she said, if we don't really love the sinners, we are not able to convert them. Because all the light, the divine life, pass through us only through the real love.
Like what helps me is that, you know, I imagine, even like when I have adoration, you know, I imagine that Jesus is, you know, he's there, he's in front of me, and then he speaks to me. And then, you know, when you just bump into somebody on the street, and then you prepare yourself to say, like, greet that people with, you know, joy, with a smile. And then, you know, before the Blessed Sacrament, you also imagine, you know, that Jesus, he's there, and he really, indeed, in reality, he's there. And you got to imagine that he is always there with you. So try to, you know, like we are in us, we are together with him, and he is doing with us. And I try to speak with his own tongue, with his, you know, And that really helps us, you know,
to realize his presence, the real presence, to have hope. Okay, it's not something I'm doing, and probably my prayer will touch someone. It's true.
With a strong faith and intention.
Yeah. And Jesus wants our help, because we are here for this reason. We should do our life, normal life, but he put in our hearts the desire to stay with him.
Actually, that was the word that Jesus said to Luisa. You know, when she was looking from the balcony, Jesus looked up at her and said, "Soul, help me. You know, Jesus wants our help.
He does. And he's going to get it too, because we're going to give our fiat. You know, Jesus says the mission of my will was the purpose of the creation of man. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to Radio Maria. Thank you, sisters, for your fiat. Ciao. Thank love you. Bye,
ciao,
sisters.
Ciao, ciao. Ciao, America.
Thanks, God willing.